Good morning. We welcome you to our worship service this morning. We're grateful that you made and prioritized coming together to worship our Lord and to see brothers and sisters in Christ. Really no new announcements other than the fact that the women are back to a study this coming week. So the men and women's group will be 7 o'clock at Carolyn's house on Buxton Drive. Also, I didn't change it to May, but in May we're collecting personal care items. So that's what we're collecting for May, and I'll change that. And then also, as I was here alone last Sunday because Sherry was in the hospital, it's good to have her here today, and thank you for all your prayers and meals. And one of the funniest parts of the meal is, and you know that I'm only half joking when I tease about people that come from above the Mason-Dixon line, but Dave Gardner asked me what would you like, and he got it from a barbecue place, and I ordered collard greens. He said it took 2 hours for his car to air out, so that was my dessert, I guess. But thank you for everything, and I'm grateful that she's feeling better. Thank you.
Thank you all, everybody. Makes me feel very comfortable and loved.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Yes.
Could you ask Webb to give us some hints about personal care items for kids? I know adults, but I'm not sure.
You know, they have those little mini cones that like fit in a guy's pocket.
Cones, toothbrushes.
And toothbrushes.
Okay.
At Walmart, they have a travel section.
Just look at the hairbrush section.
Gotcha.
Amazon.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. And there's a picture too. I've printed them out. You can, and I'll do it again if I'm reminded. But there is a schedule for all 12 months because it's not airtight. If you see a stuffed animal this month, even though we're done, we can do it that way. So I'll provide some of those that have been, and they have some pictures of some of the items. Yes, sir.
I'm not sure you can put liquids in the box.
No.
Yeah. So be careful when you get the travel items that you don't get liquids.
Okay.
Toothpaste, okay.
Stick to combs.
All right.
Between Webb and I, we'll come up with some type of suggestion list, and we'll get it in the bulletin for next month. All right. Announcement that's also a praise. It's good because he's had some health issues too. It's good to have Wayne Williams with us today. And Wayne Williams is another year older today. How old are you now, Wayne?
I want to pray the Lord.
His hearing's gone. How old are you now, Wayne?
Good.
We love you, brother. You want to sing? Let's sing.
Raise their hands, and he said, well, let me put it to you like this. He says, you're all being deployed.
quarters for 6 months. And he said, everyone raise your hand.
Let's keep calling. Let's keep calling Griffin in our prayers. And he's in California right now, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's keep him in prayer.
Much better.
He turned 3 months old.
He's there. Yeah.
So let's continue to keep Paisley in our prayers. She's 3 months old and just, and Carrie, since we're looking that way, how is your family doing? You aren't doing?
I think everybody's good. I have text syndrome, but she really hasn't responded. She went back to work this week. My aunt's doing better than my uncle now.
Let's continue to keep the Atkins family in our prayers. Carol.
Bob.
Let's keep Bob Carson in our prayers. Okay. Thank you. And Dave?
Well, we're venturing out to D.C. to see our grandson and his parents and his senior walk as a varsity soccer player, but this is the first time we've tried to do 3 hours in the car with my wife and her niece. We'll see how that excitement goes.
Take them some collard greens. We'll be keeping you in prayer. Anyone else? Yes.
Glenn Harney.
Keep Glenn. He did well this first procedure on Thursday or Tuesday. So he's going back for the next 6 weeks. So keep Glenn in your prayers. And it's a much longer day. He thought it was going to be 2 hours there and back by dark, but they didn't get home until like 10 o'clock Tuesday night. So keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. I have a praise. It's good to see Ms. Heather up in the audio, and it's good to have you with us, Heather, as well. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord and pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that we join together, and we join together as a true family, a family of love and joy, of support. We thank you that we come together, created by you as one body. We are grateful that you chose us. We are truly adopted. We thank you that in this world where we are surrounded by things that seem to be merit-based or things that just seem to be random numberings of people, that you adopt each one of us by name and you place us not only in Christ, but in the body of Christ. And we find great love and support and joy where tears are shared and joy is doubled, and we're grateful for that. It can be a lonely world, so it's nice to have brothers and sisters. And it's eternally comforting to have a father. A Heavenly Father who's wise and compassionate and truly cares for us. So we bring these concerns to you. We're grateful for Wayne's celebration of his birthday and for taking him through recent hospital difficulties, and continue to strengthen him, and may he find joy in life, he and his entire family. Thank you for your watch care over Sherry and bringing her back, and the love and support that she gives and receives. We thank you for all your care over those that we have lifted up. We pray for Glenn and for Bob and for Paisley. We just pray that you'll work in their situations and for the one that comes to our mind at this time. We thank you for bringing Heather back to us. We pray that you will continue to strengthen Kendra and all the Atkins. Just continue to be with all those that grieve. Just draw close and comfort. We pray that you be with Colin as he and many others will be sent to the border. We just pray your hedge of protection around them, and we just pray that thanking you for all those men and women who have and continue to serve us both abroad and at home. We pray that you would be with all those that are traveling, in particular be with this trip for the Gardners, as it will be the first since the surgery of any note. So we just pray that you'll may that go well. We just thank you for an opportunity to gather in your house today, and we pray that we would be comforted and strengthened, inspired by your presence in our midst. And we offer this prayer through your name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us as a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 146. Before we stand and sing hymn 386, let's call each to worship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, and chapter 7, verse 2a, and 51 through 60. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
grant that your people would love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here ends the reading.
Thank you. above all kings. We give you praise with the heavenly host and the entirety of the church, praising your name forever. All glory and laud and honor is yours. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be yours of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are lots of books, in fact, far too many of them, written about living the Christian life. And the truth of the matter is, the Christian life isn't that difficult. The Christian part is easy. We sort of get that. The Christian part is easy because God does it. Salvation is of the Lord, and He is the one who has done it. It's the living part that's hard. It's putting it into practice that's hard. My mother has posted a prayer several times that I thought might fit many of us. And it goes as follows. Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I need a lot of help. And that's probably the case. I mean, most of us have no trouble running into trouble. Jesus knew trouble. In fact, he, on the night in which he was betrayed, we read or had read to us by Jen this gospel reading. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to be scourged. He's about to be tortured. He's about to take all of our sin on. He's about to be killed. So he knows what it is to be troubled. He also knows that his disciples, who had left everything to follow him, who had thrown all of their eggs into his basket, convinced that he was the Messiah, he knew that they were going to have the grief of losing him, the guilt of betraying him at his last hour, except for John, the confusion and the pain of dreams that seemed to be smashed, So he was troubled, and he knew his disciples were going to be troubled, and he opened his dialogue with words that come to us who are also troubled. And he simply said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now, let me say up front, it's not a sin to be troubled. If you are troubled about something, don't add insult to injury and think, well, you know, if you were a strong Christian or a mature Christian, you wouldn't be having struggles and troubles. Don't put that on top of what you're already going through. And don't listen to preachers who can be like snake oil handlers in presenting a version of the gospel that if you were just a little bit more holy, if you were just a little bit more spiritual, if you did just read a little bit more of the Bible, and they always slip in, and if you gave more money to the Lord. And it's always coincidental that they want their ministry to be the recipient of the money you give to the Lord. Don't listen to notions that think that Christians have no troubles. Because Jesus, of all, knew trouble. There are three times in John where the exact same word, tarasso, that's used for troubled here when he told the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." The exact same word is used of Jesus in three different places in John. In John 11, when he goes to Lazarus' home and Lazarus was there and his close friend Mary was crying, it said that Jesus was troubled. In John 12, when he pondered his hour, his death, it says he was troubled. And in John 13, when he's talking about Judas betraying him, the exact same word is saying of Jesus that he was troubled. So when he tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled," he knows what he's speaking of. He's not just giving good advice from someone who can't relate. He knows what it is to be troubled. But the trouble with trouble is, how do we handle the trouble when we get into it? Most of us have no problem finding trouble. Do any of you have a problem finding trouble? Do you ever feel like you're a magnet for trouble? Trouble just is part of life. But the trouble with trouble is how we handle it. And Jesus will give us some words of wisdom here. How do you handle your trouble? Now, some people get depressed. Some people get depressed. I'd like to say, and often say, where the Bible has good science long before science finds it, good truth long before philosophers discover it, and even good psychology long before the discipline of psychology finds it, which shouldn't surprise us. God created the psyche, so it makes sense that the one who created our psyche and the one who wrote the scriptures would understand. And if you read modern psychologists about those who are depressed, and I'm not speaking of clinical depression that is a chemical issue and of course needs appropriate pharmaceutical help, and it's very grateful for that. I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about that little D depression where we just can't get beyond. And they say that the prominent thought of those who have that level of depression is they feel that every day is going to be just the same. That every day is going to be just like today. In fact, they say that the best is behind me. And in the midst of Jesus saying, "Let not your heart be troubled," he immediately tells them to look to the future. He immediately says, I am going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be. In other words, don't get so wrapped up in the events that are going to be happening, because I'm going to prepare a place. There's a good trick that you can use when you're talking to someone who's struggling with their future. You can ask them, and I would ask you, if you at times get depressed, ask yourself, what would be the first thing you did if you were no longer depressed? And whatever the answer is to that question, go and do it. Just go and do it. And it's amazing how once we understand that we have a future and we're going somewhere, and as Christians we have an ultimate future that's safely protected. We don't need to fear death because we know that He is going to prepare a place for us. So some get depressed when they hit trouble. Some get obsessed. They get obsessed with it. The picture I think here is, and I know I too often refer to it, someone once said it was my second Bible, and it probably is. But you know the Andy Griffith programs. You know Barney Fife. In fact, we have parishioners, I'll tell you afterwards, that grew up in the area with Don Knotts, and his whole family was known as being nervous people. And he made a great wealth and a lot of people smile by capturing this shaky man, this nervous man. But Barney takes everything over the top. Barney gets obsessed with everything. And this is the opposite of what Jesus is saying when we deal with trouble. We get frantic. We get frantic. And when we become frantic, we no longer have the serenity we need to live with trouble. Frantic people can't handle trouble. If you go back to those episodes of Andy Griffith that you remember, did Barney's getting frantic ever solve anything? No. In fact, it made it worse, didn't it? So let me ask you, to see if you're somehow an exception to that rule. Does your getting frantic when you get in trouble, does your getting frantic ever help anything? No. It's the opposite of what we need. We need the serenity, a peace that comes from the Lord, a peace, a calmness to handle trouble. Or as that wonderful Anglican Christian said in a wonderful poem many years ago, when Rudyard Kipling said, if you can keep your head while everyone else is losing theirs and blaming it on you. When you're in trouble, it's the last time to get obsessed and frantic. You have to be serene. Others, when they get obsessed with trouble, they get anxious. They are torn in many directions. Their mind becomes distracted and overwhelmed. Jesus approached this early in the Sermon on the Mount, where he was very honest. Your days are going to be full of troubles. Each day has a sufficient amount of troubles. Let me explain that. Not that I could say it any better than Jesus, but I'll put it in modern jargon. You're going to have enough problems on this Sunday. Meaning, if you try to pull problems from yesterday, you're going to have too many. And if you're going to try to bring problems from tomorrow to today, you're going to have too many. And you're going to be overwhelmed. You can handle today's troubles, but if you're still obsessing and anxious about mistakes or sins or wrong decisions you made yesterday, and you're bringing those troubles into today, it's overwhelming. Or if you're worried about how tomorrow is going to flesh out, and you're anxious about whether or not you'll be able to handle that, you're going to overwhelm your ability for today. Today, you can handle your troubles. Not tomorrow or yesterday. Every day has enough. So what do we do when we get in trouble, would Jesus say? What do we do? If we don't get depressed and we don't get obsessed, what do we do? And this is what Jesus tells us when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, let me ask you, which of those three would you say is the primary one? That Jesus is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life. Now, there would be takers for each one, but let me just go ahead and give you the right answer. And it's a right answer because we know it's what the early church was called. We weren't originally called Christians. That was a derogatory term that first came about in Antioch when they, in a derisive way, called us Christians. Before that, the church was known, and we can read this by reading in the book of Acts, we were called the people of the way. The primary one is the way, and because Jesus is the way, he has all truth and is truth. And because he is the way, we have eternal life and abundant life. He is the way. And it's not just the way in the sense of directions. He's the way on how we are to have our life modeled. As Paul would say in our discipleship, our Christian life and dealing with problems, is that it's that Christ is being formed in us. Christ is being formed in us, he says in Galatians 4. So let me give you a couple images from my childhood that are helpful for me in thinking about this, because simple illustrations help me for my simple mind. I need to think of it simply. So two illustrations of Jesus being the way. And they're historic. You may not remember them, depending on your age. When I was a little boy, 8, 9 years old, I'd go with my grandmother to a fabric store up at Hills Plaza. I forget the name of it. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. She would go over to this one counter that had all these big books on it. And the books were full of women's dresses or men's clothes. And then she'd get a number and she'd go and she'd buy a pattern. And in this little envelope were these little pieces of brown paper. Most of you remember that, right? And she would go home and on the table, she'd take whatever the cloth is and she would, I guess she used pens, and lay these patterns out. Now, what would you have thought of her sanity if she had laid all the pattern out and pinned it up, and then she took a pair of scissors and just start cutting any way she wanted to? You'd say she was crazy. Subsequently, you would say, you're making it more difficult than it needs to be. You're creating trouble for yourself by not following the pattern. And while I've never made anything hardly in my life, I would think the successful way to make something is you want to follow the pattern as closely as possible. And that's what I would say is when Jesus says he's the way we handle trouble is to follow the way he handled trouble as closely as possible. The other image I remember is my father started out as a draftsman for the highway department, and draftsmen, they have really cool tools. And one of the coolest tools he had was a little Leroy penciling set where he could draw perfect letters onto a piece of paper because one of the styluses had ink in it on his paper, and the other stylus had went into a groove of the letter. And all he needed to do was allow the stylus to replicate on his paper and not resist it. And he told me when I would play around, because I have a tendency to think that if a little is good, more is better. I tend to go overboard. He'd say, you're doing it too hard. Let the tool do the work. And the harder I would try to get it right, the sloppier the replication on the canvas would be, or on the paper. But when I gently allowed it to do the work, it was amazing the type of letter that could be produced through someone like me. That's the same with Jesus Christ. If we let him, through his Spirit, handle our troubles. Let me tell you, it's a whole lot better. It's the only way to handle trouble. And if you'll look with me at the end of the chapter that we didn't read. If you look in your Bible or just listen to me in John 14, he ends this by summing it up. Beginning in verse 27 of John 14, this is what Jesus says about handling trouble. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. In other words, the way we handle trouble is we look to Jesus. It just so happened in this, the way the Spirit works in unity. Katie Epley sent me a picture because I mentioned it in Bible study. And I made Xerox copies for you. Now, they're not suitable for framing because my point wasn't to give you something to hang on the wall. My point was didactic teaching. I wanted you to get it ingrained that in both of my illustrations of the patterns and the Leroy stylus tool, you focus on the pattern. You don't focus on the problems. And it's a picture, and there have been many pictures of Daniel in the lion's den. And I want you to get one. I've got one for everyone. But when you get it, you're going to see Daniel's not looking at the lions. He's almost oblivious, apathetic. He's looking at the light. Brothers and sisters, Jesus modeled that, and he is our way. And we handle trouble not by looking at the troubles. That'll make you depressed or obsessed. You don't look to the troubles. You look to the light and trust that because he is the way, he will make a way for you. Amen? Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We rejoice to give you thanks and praise, God of love, because you called us to exist in your image. You filled the earth with wonder and beauty and life, and you made the children of Abraham your covenant people. You made us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, your own people. And in the death and resurrection of Jesus, you showed us the way, the truth, and the life. Once we were not a people, but now we are your people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Living God, you prepare a place for us with the Holy Trinity in your kingdom banquet. And you set a place for us at this table as we anticipate your glory. Come among us now in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may see your glory in the breaking of the bread, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples, took bread, gave you thanks, blessed the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Glorious God, you promise that those who believe in you will do greater things than these. Bestow upon your church the gifts of your Spirit, that your people may be with the hungry, do beautiful things, show grace and amid hostility, witness to your story, and behold your glory. Make us living stones and build us into a spiritual house, that we may be your holy priesthood, and that all creation, suffering and flourishing, faithful and fallen, may be suffused with your glory and may overflow with your praise. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, I was watching yesterday morning, some of you may have, the coronation of King Charles. And I was quite delighted by it. And it was inspiring. And this is not in any way to take anything away from the festivities and the honor, nor to take anything away from King Charles, for I hear from those who know him that he's a very spiritual and devout individual. But I was sitting there and I sort of got tears in my eyes because they were talking about how this was a different type of coronation, because they had opened the doors not just to the aristocrats, but they had opened the doors to the common people. And I applaud that. And what hit me is the king we have not only opens the doors to the common man and woman, he lets us ride in the gold carriage. Through his death, he elevates us. He came and tasted death for his subjects and made us one, so that now we are joint heirs, and everything that was his as a son of the eternal God is ours. A king above all kings summons you to the gift of his own body broken for you. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to partake and to rejoice in our wonderful King, who is also our Passover Lamb. The feast is spread, the table is set. Come and keep the feast.
Thank you.
We have tasted and seen that thou art good. We thank you for providing a meal that absolutely and for all eternity sustains us. As we look back, we see your complete faithfulness in working all things around us and in us and through us to good. You have 100% success rate of faithfully taking care of your children. And we are grateful that previous blessings and faithfulness is absolute guarantee that we will in the future be equally provided and taken care of in all troubles. For you truly are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We look to you alone. You are the answer and the hope of our being. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our final hymn this morning. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.